We've seen four people do something this morning, which maybe you've not seen it before, or maybe you just think, well, I've seen it before, but it's still a little bit strange, isn't it? It's a little bit out of the ordinary to see people step into essentially a big bath of water with all their clothes on in front of people sitting watching them, and then they clap afterwards. It can be a little bit of an odd thing to do. Now, so why would they do that? Well, you've heard it from them a little bit already this morning. But I think there are generally two ways that you can get someone to do something, aren't there? You can either, they'll either do it because they want to do it, or they'll do it because they are coerced into doing it, yeah? And that'd be true for all of us. But today, they want to do it, don't they? They want to do it. There are two ways, though, to coerce someone into doing something, either by reward or by threat. If I offer you enough money, will you do this? I remember years ago where someone gave me a challenge. We were doing a fundraising thing, and someone said, if we put a Big Mac meal in a blender, if we pay the charity enough money, will you drink it? And I'm like, yeah, right. It was the most disgusting thing. But for money, you might do something. Sometimes, though, you might be coerced into something because of threat. It's you do this or this is going to happen. It's amazing what you might do if the reward is big enough or the fear of non-compliance is somehow scary enough. But what you've seen today is four people be baptized, not because they were coerced. They were neither threatened or offered material reward for what they've done today. But they got baptized because they wanted to. They wanted to show God, and most importantly today, all of you, that they love God, for God first loved them. That they love God and they want to obey God. That they love God so much so that they want to do something physical to show that. And let's be honest, it is a bit unusual. But in doing those two things, in doing that this morning, they have had opportunity to share with all of you that they believe that Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. A long time ago, there was a man called Daniel. Daniel, in the story in the Bible, was a young man. He was a brave man. He was an educated man. He'd come from royal privileged background. So he was a man of status and of position. He'd been taken from his own country as a slave, and he'd been taken into the worst place in the world at that time, a place called Babylon. And he, even in that place, wanted his culture and all of the new onlookers all around him and his friends who had been taken with him, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. He wanted all of them, even these enemies from the badlands of Babylon. He wanted them all to know that he loved and obeyed the one true God, even in such a horrible place as Babylon. Even if they thought he was really strange, to be all out living for God in such a place that rejected every notion of God at all. Now, there are many stories in the Bible that are known outside of the church, stories that have become part of our culture, part of our story, stories that we may have heard at school. The story of Daniel and the lion's den is perhaps still one of those stories, maybe not as well known as it used to be, but still a famous story. In Daniel chapter 6, it tells this story, and the first couple of verses we're going to look at is, it says in Daniel 6, verse 7, the royal administrators, the prefects, the satraps, like officials, the advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict, like a law, and enforce that law that anyone who prays to any god or human or being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Your Majesty, issue that law and put it into writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius signed that law. Now, the royal advisors, other than Daniel, they didn't believe in God. And so they essentially made a new law. And the new law was that no one was allowed to pray to God. No one was allowed to pray to anyone other than the king for 30 days. They knew that Daniel, who did believe in God, was going to find this really difficult. He was going to find this hard. Because it was either going to stop Daniel from following God or have Daniel killed by the lions for continuing to follow God. Daniel had a choice in front of him. It wasn't a choice as to whether or not to be baptized in front of all of you today, but a choice of keep praying and following God or be eaten by lions. He had a choice to make. Daniel 6, verse 10. When Daniel learned this law had been published, he went home. He went upstairs to his room where the windows opened to Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed. He gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke about this, his royal law. Did you not publish a law that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human except you, your majesty, should be thrown into the lion's den? Verse 30. They then said to the king, Daniel, who is one of your exiles from Judah, one of your slaves, he's paying no attention to you. He's paying no attention to you, your majesty, paying no attention to the law that you have put into writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown with which to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king has issued can ever be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Daniel did what he knew was right, even if that meant there were real consequences for his decision. Now, you might think, a lion's den, really? But historical study, archaeological finds strongly support the fact that the Babylonians had dens of lions all those years ago. So this story, however far-fetched it may sound to us in Western Britain all these years later, this story was almost certainly true, historically, archaeologically. I believe from faith it was true. However far-fetched it might sound, this happened. The lion's den was a real consequence for Daniel. There was a real threat against him for following God, and yet he followed God anyway. He was so convinced, not just of God's existence, but that God was for him, that God loved him, that God had asked him of things to be obedient to, and that God was ultimately going to save him. They plotted against Daniel because he was praying to God. They didn't like him for what he was doing. We live in a country where there isn't threat of violence against Christians for their faith. But we live in a culture where Christians are increasingly mocked and sidelined for their faith. And yet four people today have been baptized in front of all of you. As a public declaration of their faith in Jesus, they, like Daniel, have effectively said, I don't care. I know that God loves me. And I want you to know that I know that God loves me. And I want you to know that I love God. The king didn't want to put Daniel to the lions. He liked Daniel. He respected Daniel. This wasn't what he wanted the law to be about. He'd been tricked, and now he knew it. And so he says to Daniel at the end, just as he's thrown into that den of lions, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A quick word to the four who have been baptized today. Live for Jesus, because people will notice. The king noticed the faith of Daniel, and so he praised him for it and said, look, I pray and I hope that God is going to defend you. Live for Jesus, because people will notice. Some people won't like you for it. Others will respect you for it, and others still will cheer you on. But give Jesus your life, all of it, and continually give it every single day of your life. We're going to empty the water out of this afternoon, and it will get covered back up until the next time. So we're not going to do this again tomorrow. But when you wake up in the morning, give Jesus your day tomorrow, and then again the next day, and the next day, because people are going to notice. A word to the church. Be those that cheer them on. Cheer them on. The king respected Daniel, but he didn't worship Daniel's God. So how much more to you, those who worship the one that they have proclaimed? Cheer them on. Pray for them, encourage them, take steps of courage so as to stand with them as they seek to live for Jesus. We've seen real courage today from these four. There's not only the act of courage required or able, though, from God's people. So show courage for Jesus. Show courage for Jesus every single day. Tomorrow, as you go to school and college to work, there'll be a step of courage to make, to talk to the people that you see, that you work alongside, that you sit next to in class, when they go, what did you do at the weekend? Do you know what? I had an amazing weekend. Why, what did you do? Well, I got baptized. What's that? Well, you might find this a bit strange, but I got lowered down into a big bath of water in front of a whole bunch of people. Why did you do that? Well, I'm doing that to obey God, because I believe that God loves me just so much. Show courage for Jesus tomorrow. Everyone, show courage for Jesus. Because people will notice that public act of courage that you make. And most of all, Jesus will be glorified as you do that. Daniel 6, verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed. He gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found to be on him because he had trusted in his God. God sent an angel and closed the mouths of the lions. Daniel was totally unharmed. His fingers and toes all just as they were. No scratches upon his body. For God closed the mouths of the lions. Couple of things for us. God loves his people. God loves his people. God protects his people. Even against real adversity and harm, God loves and protects his people. God is trustworthy. Daniel trusted in God to protect him against the lions. God is trustworthy. These guys this morning put their trust in me and Mark to not drop them and lift them out. We put our trust in people and in things all of the time, don't we? Put your trust in God, for God is trustworthy. Daniel went against the cultural pressure all around him. He even accepted the threat of physical harm and he found God to be trustworthy. You may have never put your trust in God for anything before. You may have told God that you trusted him a long time ago, but are still not sure whether you really can. We heard a bit about that in some testimonies, didn't we? You may not believe a word of it, but there are people that you know, who you have seen and heard this morning, who in many ways are just like you, but believe every word of it. For they know. They know it in their heart, they know it in their mind, and they know it in their experience that God is trustworthy. When these guys got baptized today, they were asked a question. A question which essentially asked them to declare a belief and a trust in God to be their saviour. Becoming a Christian or a follower of Jesus is about seeing the reality of his existence. Yes, I know that God is real. And recognizing that you need him. Not only is he real, but I need him. I need him to be my savior. And so I'm going to trust him to be just that. It's how Daniel got in this position in the first place. Because he prayed to God. 3 times a day he prayed to God. Daniel knew the value of knowing God and knowing him through the power of prayer. Daniel knew God would be trustworthy in this monumental crisis he was going to face. And how did he know he could trust him? Because he'd found him trustworthy in loads of smaller things before that day. Trust is nurtured, isn't it? And it's developed over time. But trust requires a step into the unknown. It would have been very cruel of me this morning if I'd come in here before any of you arrived and unloosened all the chairs and cut the legs off and just rested them on top, because you'd have sat on it and it would have collapsed to the floor. But I didn't do that. But you trusted that I'd not done that. You trusted that the chair would hold you and you just plonked yourself down upon it. We put our trust in all kinds of things and all kinds of people all of the time. How do you know the chair is going to hold you? Because you've sat on a chair hundreds of times. How did Daniel know that God was trustworthy in the lion's den? Because he's trusted God hundreds of times. Trust is nurtured and developed. And maybe for you it starts today to go, yeah, I believe that God is real, because there just must be. I'm going to take a step towards trusting him today. If you've never put your trust in Jesus because you are not sure if he is trustworthy, that may mean that you need to go out on a limb against your culture, which says that this isn't real, to discover that he is real and that he is trustworthy. Second thing to see, and the last thing, God is able to do the miraculous. God has the power to close the mouth of a hungry lion. God is not a superhero made in the imagination of a comic writer, but the creator of the universe, the one who holds the world in his hands, a wonder worker, a miracle maker, and the one who desires to put his divine power for the aid of his people. Trust him for it today. Trust him for it tomorrow and the next day and the day after. Is he trustworthy? Yes, he is. Is he able to do mighty things? Yes, he is. Is trust uncomfortable? Yes, it is. Because most of us like to be in charge. We like to be the captain of our own life. But yet there is much, much greater joy in letting Jesus have your life. Trust in Jesus with everything. We've heard that this morning, haven't we, from the four who have come and shared. We've seen that in the life of a story that maybe one time we've heard before. God closed the mouths of the lions because of the trust that Daniel put in him to do just that. Trust Jesus today with everything. You'll find him powerful and wonderfully trustworthy. Because as they have all said this morning, Jesus came to be the saviour of the world. That means not just them, but me and all of you. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing our last couple of songs together. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Betsy and for Jem, for Amarachi and for Tom. I thank you for their public declaration of their trust and their knowledge, their belief in you to be their saviour, to be the saviour of the world. And thank you that they have come and given testimony from their own experience about how they have known and found you to be real and loving and wonderful and trustworthy. I thank you that we can read your word and see the story of this man, Daniel, all those years ago, about how he knew that you loved him, how he knew that you were trustworthy, how he knew that you were powerful and that you were going to save him. Father, I pray today, whether we do it for the first time, the second time, the 100th time, that we will put our trust in you, that we take a step closer to you today. For we know that you are good. We know that you are trustworthy. And we know that you have the power to act miraculously in our lives. Father, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.